Hi, I'm Shekhar Gupta and I bring to you the video and podcast version of this week's National Interest. The Modi government's notification of the rules of the Citizenship Amendment Act or CAA has failed in one purpose. If its immediate purpose was overshadowing the Supreme Court's order on electoral bonds, that has failed because the electoral bond story has the fuel to last. In fact, the CAA story was dying out when two things happened. One, Delhi Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal attacked the law as an invitation to millions of poor and unemployable illegal immigrants and ghuspaithias, or infiltrators as he said, from Pakistan and Bangladesh. This sparked protests outside his house by hundreds of Pakistani Hindus currently living in subhuman squalor in illegal bastis on the outskirts of the capital. Obviously encouraged by the BJP as well. An even more important role was played by the US State Department in bringing the story back into the headlines, at least above the fold, as we would say in old newspapering parlance. Spokesman Matthew Miller said in his usual briefing that the US was concerned by the law, stood by equity for all faiths, and was making a close study of it. At which point, I shall make a humble request to him and his principals at the US State Department. If after the deepest study, you do indeed figure out what exactly is wrong with this, please do let us know in India. Or as Kishore Kumar sang in Bajrooz Sultanpuri's words for Devanand in the 1965 classic Teen Deviya, Agar tumhi samajh sako, mujhe bhi samjhana. Forgive my lapsing into old Hindi film nostalgia, that is compulsive with me. The fact, however, is that on the closest study, I find it difficult to decide whether the CAA, as it reads right now with its rules, is good, bad, a bit of both, or maybe inconsequential. Let's try and examine it from the point of view of its likely and intended beneficiaries, victims, and the ones with principled arguments against it. The most likely beneficiaries are mostly Hindus, some Sikhs, Christians, and probably a few Buddhists in Pakistan and Bangladesh. Precise figures are hard to come by, though unlike in India lately, Pakistan had a census in 2023. Let us say, for ease of understanding, that the number is about 2 crores in these countries. More than 95% of them will be Hindus, presuming that most or any of them feel dreadfully persecuted in the countries where they live and want to come back to India or want to come to India. They will not be jumping at joy looking at the rules of the CAA. The answer for them, unfortunately, does it help them? The answer for them, unfortunately, that it's 10 years too late. The law would have benefited them only if they had come to India by the end of 2014, because 31 December 2014 is the cutoff date for its application. So it doesn't apply to anybody who's at this moment in Pakistan, Bangladesh, Afghanistan. This is a bummer, you might say, but what about those that came before 2014? Will they benefit? They can surely benefit, but they can also ask a question. If India, particularly under Narendra Modi and the BJP government, felt so strongly about their fate, then why did it make them wait for 10 years? Why didn't they give them citizenship right away? Government of India has the sovereign power to accord citizenship to anybody. It doesn't need any special law for any community. Surely, no new law was needed to give citizenship to Indian citizenship to singer Adnan Sami, which was done with some fanfare in front of camera by the Minister of State for Home Affairs, Kiran Rijiju then. That did not need any special law. Why make us the poorest and the most miserable Hindus from Pakistan, these people might ask, and Bangladesh, live in subhuman conditions as illegal immigrants for all these years, for 10 years? Were we made to wait for 10 extra years for a mere opportune moment for the BJP's politics? That's a valid question and they will ask that. Next point. With the likely beneficiaries out of the way now, we come to those fearful of it. Why is there no Shaheen Bagh type protest breaking out now? It is because the cause for action in 2019 doesn't exist at this point. Then the CAA was following a widely proclaimed chronology that would have seen a nationwide National Register of Citizens. That process, NRC process, would have followed the CAA in its wake. The fear of the NRC was buried even ridiculed by the Prime Minister himself, Prime Minister Modi himself, in his speech at Ramlila Maidan on 22nd December 2019. There was obviously a realization at that point that the party had gone too far. This was an absolute no-no when the Prime Minister himself was taking such pride in receiving the highest national awards from the key Islamic countries and understood the value of the new Indian relationships, the improving Indian relationships in the Arab Middle East, outflanking Pakistan. Since then, no BJP leader has resurrected the talk of the NRC. And if there is no NRC, no Muslim in India has to fear anything from CAA. You might find it reprehensible that it leaves out the Muslims but only gives citizenship to others. But beyond that principled argument, there is no fear of being excluded or of your citizenship being taken away. The only part of the country where the law makes a difference is Assam. Successive amendments to the Indian citizenship law over the decades have maintained an Assam exception. That's in deference to the anti-illegal immigration, later renamed anti-foreigner mass movement in the state from 1979 onwards. The native Assamese speakers of the Brahmaputra Valley and tribal areas believe that tens of millions of Bangladeshis illegally settled in their state, upsetting the demographic and electoral balance. The RSS has campaigned for more than four decades now in the state to convince the Assamese Hindus that they should make a distinction between Bengali Muslim immigrants and Hindus. That was successful, but never fully so. The difference in Assam is that an NRC process had already been carried out there under orders of the Supreme Court. Assam got caught in a twin trap. However, first the NRC caught too many Hindus as aliens. Despite the rise of the BJP RSS, a large number of Assamese, especially the students, the young, still won't make that exception for Bengali Hindus. That is the reason Chief Minister Himanta Biswa Sarma is now trying to douse the fresh protest by arguing that the idea that millions or lakhs of Bengali Hindus are now going to be naturalized in the state is ridiculous. If at all, he says, it will be 50 to 80,000 Hindus in the Barak Valley. If these are all the people this politically disruptive law might benefit, one might ask, where was the need for it? Was it really needed? It would be reasonable to conclude then that for the BJP, it was a strategic move that did not quite work out, because those it would benefit could easily have got accommodated under existing laws and the new entrants would remain excluded. The hope of big polarization in population and large unrest on the streets also was belied, because this did not have the spark of the NRC. The Muslim community has also displayed a shrewd underdog's maturity in not reacting to the latest developments. Principled constitutional arguments will go on, and these are arguments on whether the state can define citizenship based on faith. These will continue to be made in the Supreme Court and settled there. Whatever the verdict, it will be academic and make no substantive difference going ahead. There will be some noise and ceremonial handing out of citizenship certificates, mostly to Hindus. Beyond that, the CAA story has been defeated by the haste and political miscalculation behind it. It can only revive if one or both of the following happen. One, if the talk of a nationwide NRC returns and/or the date of the application of the law is put forward or pushed onwards from 2014 December 31 to any time in the future. Can this actually happen? I would suggest watching this space in the run-up to 2029 elections.